Well, that is obviously not what baptism is. And I'm excited. I was in the back and I was like, man, it'd be cool if like people ask questions. Yeah, I had to get some paper and a couple people and do this. Because I thought I could just open it up with a mic, but I wasn't sure that anybody would ask in front of everybody. So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask Marcus to come up here. Marcus, come on. Cool hat, by the way. And those were my favorite pants when I was in fifth grade. Now, here's the deal. Oh, that was a joke. I love this guy's awesome. I want you to pray for us.
All right.
And I'm going to give you this. And you just kind of kick us off tonight with
special.
It's a very special mic. It's anointed. I didn't really
never used one of these
put
before.
It on your ear, but
I feel special now, like Jamie Ward. All right, will you bow with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for all that you've given us, Lord, and all the blessings we have. And just pray that you be with Jamie tonight and help him deliver the message. And anoint him now and give him the words that you want him to speak, Lord. And we love you so much, Lord, and we just thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for your son that's died on the cross for us, Lord. And just help us to remember to go through this week and the rest of our lives, Lord, that we give everything to you and that we remember that you died for us, Lord. So the least we can do is to go out and tell everyone we know about it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Love you, bud. Appreciate you. I'm totally kidding. Aren't you glad we can have fun on Wednesday night? Aren't you glad? And I wanted Marcus to pray because I wanted a chance to read through the questions so that I knew there are some I won't even ask. Only you'll know that you wrote them down and I didn't know the answer. Only me and you will know that. Everybody else will say, wow, he is so wise. And I'd like you to call my house and tell my wife that. So, oh, now that's funny. That's funny. Baptism. I mean, I'm going to share a few things that I know I've shared with you before, but maybe new for somebody, maybe a reminder for somebody. I want to tell you my experience. I went to vacation Bible school when I was about 7 years old. And the teacher asked, who wants to be saved? And there were no takers. And then he held up a dollar. And he shook it and said, who would like to be saved? Well, believe it or not, back in the day, I was pretty fast. So I was the first one to him to get to the dollar, so he took me out in the hall. And I was used to being taken out in the hall, but this was like for a positive thing. And he began to share something with me. To be honest, I had my eye on one thing, and that was a dollar. I wanted the dollar. And I got the impression as a seven-year-old that if I didn't do what he told me to do, I wouldn't get the dollar. So he said, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life? To which I said, cha-ching. That's right. And so I prayed a prayer. And I would say probably it was a gospel prayer. Acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God. He died on the cross. He rose again. That only through him can my sin be. It was probably a good gospel prayer. So I took the dollar. And I want you to know, I went home and I shared what had happened. As a seven-year-old, I remember what I prayed. And I said, here's what I prayed. My parents weren't sure what to do with that. So I met with my pastor, which was really scary to meet with my pastor in his office. And we met and I go over the whole story. And of course, he couldn't understand. The devil was at this vacation Bible school. And there was a guy dressed up all week as the devil. And you couldn't let him, you know, get near you or touch you. So whenever you saw him, you had to run away. I mean, this church is probably televised, the one I was at, because I was just visiting with a friend. So my pastor says, well, now you need to get baptized. Because you say that you've prayed that, you need to get baptized. And so that's what happens. And I get into the water, and they put me under the water, and that's the deal. Well, at 16... I realize that in that moment, I felt like I was the worst sinner that had ever lived. And I was so convicted. I'll never forget that night being 16. As somebody talked about the grace and mercy of God and knowing, at 16, knowing that I did not deserve what Jesus did. And yet, I believed that without Jesus, I had no hope. And so it was painfully obvious that night that I did not have a relationship with Jesus. And it was that night that I invited Christ to come into my life and to forgive me of my sin. And I know, I have no doubt that at 16, God saved me. God did that. God did something that I couldn't make happen. God saved me. And then believing what the Bible teaches about baptism, I realized that when I was 7, I really wasn't baptized. Because the only way you can be baptized is if Jesus lives inside of you. That's the only way. If Jesus doesn't live inside of you and you get in those waters, all you're going to get is wet. And so I get baptized. And it was powerful. There's a couple of things that I want to share with you tonight. I hate some of the things that I've heard about baptism. Like especially, most of you probably know this, some of you may not, and it will shock you, but we are a Southern Baptist church. Some people said, well, I figured you were Baptist because you guys talk about baptism all the time. That's not why we're Baptist. Baptism isn't a Baptist thing. Does everybody know that? It's a Bible thing. That we don't get baptism out of the Baptist Faith and Message, which is a little book that tells you everything that Baptists allegedly believe, right? But we get it out of the Bible. But when folks have come from another denomination, I've heard this said to them before. Because maybe they're coming from a different denomination or something like that. And I've heard people say, we just need to get baptized. It's like if you're joining the club, you need to do what the club says. What a horrible, horrible way to describe baptism. If you want to join the club. That's what, I don't like that. Here's another thing that I hear a lot, especially in Southern Baptist life. Baptism is merely symbolic. It's just a symbol of what Jesus has done. Jesus, he died and he rose again. Now let me clarify this point, because a lot of you, that's what you've heard all your life, that baptism is symbolic. But I want to make the case tonight that I think it's more than symbolic. And here's why I believe that. Because in this entire journey of following Jesus, my experience, probably every pastor on the staff, our experience is people that have been baptized are more likely to do the other things that Jesus wants them to do. Everybody hear me? People that do have a relationship with Jesus and have not been biblically baptized, in most cases, okay, you may be sitting there saying that you're the exception to the rule, and you may very well be, okay? But in most cases, people that refuse to be baptized after they've come to know Jesus as their personal Savior, they are less likely to do the next things that God wants them to do. Now, as I was thinking about how to organize this message, I really, obviously, as you can tell, I had no clue really how to do it. And so I don't want this to be totally random, but I want to share some thoughts with you about baptism, and I want to try to answer a few questions, and I'm going to end with a story out of the Bible, and we'll go from there. The one of the most common questions about baptism is, do you have to be baptized to be saved? And one of the questions tonight was just quoting one of the scriptures that basically, where Peter was saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sin. Now, there are, no doubt, a few isolated texts where it'll say repent and be baptized. There's just a few. And let me tell you what's tough, where you have to be really careful with the Bible. You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to. And that's why the Bible says to consider the whole counsel of God. You know what that means? Don't pick up one verse and create an entire theology around one verse. Consider the whole counsel of God. And that means this. You've got to read more than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got to read more than the New Testament. You have to consider the whole counsel of God. Well, I do not believe that the Bible teaches that you have to be baptized to be saved. And here's why. Now, I think I'm not going to give you 50 verses. I'm going to tell you some things. And then I'm going to tell everybody this tonight. Don't believe me. Did everybody hear that? Because if you leave on Wednesday nights and hang your theology on what I think, you'll be as wrong as me. Because I hope what happens on Wednesday night is that I'm teaching you what the Bible says. Okay? One of the most crucial evidences that baptism is not necessary for salvation. Number one evidence is this. Jesus was baptized. Now that's huge. Because if you are here tonight and you believe that you have to be baptized to be saved, then you are denying one of the very basic fundamental doctrines of our faith that the Bible teaches, and that is that Jesus was without sin. Jesus did not get baptized so that his sin would be forgiven. He didn't have any. Is everybody with me? It's so much funner to teach children about baptism than adults. Because I can tell a child, you know why we get baptized? Because Jesus did. And guess what? They believe that. They believe it. Hey, I'm trying to be like Jesus. That's why I get baptized. So I do not believe that the Bible teaches that you have to get baptized so that your sin will be forgiven, because Jesus was baptized. And really, the model, what we're modeling our baptism, the way we do it after, is the baptism of Jesus. Now, I could take you through all the history, because almost every ancient religion required some kind of ritual washing to be a part of that religion. That's not what baptism was about. That wasn't it. Hey, you can't be in the club unless you do this. Had nothing to do with the club. Jesus was baptized. Another evidence. I won't say second and third because I'm not going through all of them. Just a few. But another evidence that you do not have to be baptized to be saved is the thief on the cross. You remember that? What an incredible picture. Jesus, he's on the cross, he's dying, and one of the thieves, they're saying all kinds of stuff to Jesus, and the other thief says, "Don't you know who this is?" and basically gives a defense for Jesus, and Jesus says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And I don't know if you read on, but they didn't jump off the cross and have a baptism. I believe the thief is in heaven. And if you press me, why do you believe that? Because Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So I do not believe you have to be baptized to be saved. I don't believe that the water literally washes your sin away. So when Peter would say, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sin," I don't believe, based on a lot of other things that Peter said, that he was saying you have to repent and then you have to be baptized. He was talking about two different events, and he was given the result of what would happen, not necessarily after both of them. Because guess what happens if you repent? Your sin will be forgiven. Right? That's what happens. And if you're baptized, guess what? That means that you've demonstrated a willingness to walk with Jesus wherever he leads you. Because being a Christian is about fellowship. It's about how are we going to follow Jesus. Now, somebody could stand up and say, "Yeah, but it says that." But there are a lot of other places where it says just to repent. And it doesn't say to be baptized. So guess what? I can believe all those verses. But if you hang on to repent and be baptized, then there are verses that you can't believe in. Because there are a lot of them that just say, "Repent and you'll be forgiven." Does everybody understand that? So should you believe all the scriptures or just a few? Because if you hang on to a few like that, then you have to reject a lot of other ones. So baptism is not necessary for salvation. If we believe baptism was necessary for salvation, we wouldn't schedule baptisms. Guess when you'd get baptized? When you walked that aisle and said, "I want Jesus in my life," we would take you right to the water. You know why? Because if you got killed on the way home and we scheduled your baptism for a week later, then what would happen to you? And there are churches who claim to believe that you must be baptized to be saved, but they schedule people's baptisms. I don't understand that. We would get Jeff Reynolds to pick you up and carry you up there. Maybe we just would toss you in there from the stage. I don't know. But guess what? We don't believe that. We believe that what saves you is the work that Jesus did. If baptism saved you, guess who saved you? You and Jesus, you partnered together. He died on the cross. You willingly got into the water. It was a partnership. But that's not what happens. It's by faith alone. It's believing in Jesus. I won't spend a lot of time on that because I would say for the most part, most of us, we're there. But a few questions were poised that asked those kind of questions. So my quick answer is, yes, there are a few verses that say repent and be baptized, but there are a lot that say repent, period. And I think you have to be able to believe all of those. Repent and be baptized doesn't contradict repent. Because guess what you're doing in both of them? You're repenting. Right? Everybody with me on that? And so it's God who saves you. Another question. I was baptized when I was small, but I didn't understand. Should I do it again? I would say that if you didn't understand, you did not get baptized. So I want to stay away tonight from words like re-baptism, because I don't believe you can be re-baptized. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You can't get re-baptized. You either were baptized or you weren't. So if you were baptized as a child, and I opened up tonight giving you the story of when I was 7 years old, and I didn't understand, I didn't have a clue what was going on, I wasn't baptized. I got in the water, I got wet, but biblical baptism happens after your conversion. You see, it's really the beginning mark of a disciple's life. What did I say Christianity is about concerning us? It's about fellowship, right? It's about how we're going to follow Jesus. Well, you have to be able to make a conscious decision to follow Jesus. So if you got in the water when you were younger and you know that you didn't have a clue what was happening and you would trace years later that you were actually saved, then I would tell you, you've never been baptized. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in that boat. A lot of us. I mean, I was there and I realized that I really got saved when I was 16. That's when, man, God convicted me about the sin in my life. That's when God saved me. And that's when I needed to be baptized. Because it happens after that. And obviously, explaining it that way would also kind of explain, every once in a while we get a call at Hillview and somebody says, I'd like to have my infant sprinkled. Or I'd like to have my infant baptized. And however long you've been coming to Hillview, you've never seen that happen here. Basically, that's called paedobaptism. And that's the baptism of infants. And in some denominations, there's a belief, or in some other practices, there's a belief that when a child is baptized, their sin is washed away. And that's what's happening. So that's a good parental thing to do. And how I wish my parents could have got me forgiveness for my sin. But they couldn't. Because your relationship with Jesus, it's not corporate. Your relationship with Jesus is personal. And so we tell people we don't baptize infants because we believe baptism, and I'm going to repeat myself a couple times, is the beginning mark of the life of a disciple where we decide we are going to follow Jesus. Your infant cannot make that decision. Another question we had tonight is, how young can you make that decision? I mean, at what age can you really make a decision like that? And that is a great, great question. And I don't know that there is an answer. There's certainly not a biblical answer as far as the age. I would say this. I would say that it's probably younger than what most of us think it is. Because how many times does the Bible say that we've got to become like children if we're really going to understand all this, right? So I would say it's younger. As far as I know, since I've been here, I believe the youngest child we've baptized here is five. And I'll tell you this, if you've been raised in church all your life, you're probably asking questions at 4 and 5 years old, probably younger than that. I mean, my kids were asking questions really young, and I, just to be really honest with you tonight, man, I held off one of my boys for a while because I was afraid that he really didn't grasp what was going on. And I'll tell you this, looking back on it, I feel like I made a mistake as a parent. Because you know how I counsel parents? You just keep this an open conversation with your child. How young is too young? Every kid's different, aren't they? And so I'm not going to give you an age tonight. And maybe some of you got out your pen and said, here it comes. Here's the H. I don't have one. But I'll tell you this. I would keep that an open conversation. I would never tell my child, no, you can't get baptized. I would never say that. I don't mean I'd run out and I'd do it immediately. But I would never say that. And I'd say, hey, let's talk about that some more. You know what I'd do? I'd call Pastor Angela. I'd call Pastor Beth Ann. You know, or I'd call Pastor Jamie, Pastor Steve, because I'm telling you, any pastor on the staff would drop everything to talk to you and your child about baptism. And I'd say, hey, let's talk to one of the pastors about it, or let's talk to somebody about it. And I would keep it an open conversation. And then I would pray, God, are they ready? Do they know what's going on? And then I'll tell you this, and I don't know if I should even say this, but I think it's the truth. If the worst thing that happens to your child is they get baptized when they're younger, and then they get, you know, 16 years old or 14 or something like that, or 20, and say, you know what? I don't think I had a clue what was going on. If that's the worst thing that happens and then your kid gets baptized, you know what? That ain't a bad thing. Because there's been a handful of times when I've met with parents and they said, no, we're not letting them get baptized right now. And the next time I met with those parents was 5 years later and their kid wasn't asking anymore. Are you with me? So I'm not saying I just would let them, but I would really let that be an open conversation. And can I say this, parents? Don't be intimidated about that conversation. Guess what? You don't have all the answers. Guess what? I don't have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. What a great time for your child to learn. All of us don't have all of the answers. And so keep that an open conversation. A couple other questions. Was it as common in Jesus' time for women to be baptized? Yes. And there are several incidences where it was said that somebody in their whole household were baptized. Okay, and women were considered to be part of the household. So there was no discrimination. Matter of fact, one of the things about Christianity that's been incredible is for an incredibly oppressive time towards women, Christianity and how Jesus viewed women and what the Bible taught about women was unbelievable. And so women were just as crucial a part of that. Women had no less responsibility in following Jesus as men did. Are you with me? Good question. Were young children baptized in Jesus' time? You know, I don't know that I could really answer that question. We're not sure. Jesus said several things like, you know, let the children come unto me. You know, and there were many times where Jesus said he wanted the children with him. Now, granted, it doesn't say they got baptized. I'm not sure on that. And the Bible doesn't give an age. And so here's the good news. Only God can save you. Only God can save you. And man, I've met with some kids who were 5 and 6 and 7 years old. And in talking to them, they grasped this concept that they had sin in their life and there was nothing they could do about it. And they were just going to have to trust Jesus with the sin in their life. Folks, that is the gospel. That's what it is about. That Jesus has done for me and you what we could not do for ourselves. So I would speculate that there were some children that were baptized. But again, we don't have a written record of that. But there's also not a prohibition against it. So I would say that was there. Now, some have said in a few of those cases where it says somebody's whole household was baptized, some have said that's the evidence for infant baptism. But what I think's wrong or erroneous in that thinking is, the Bible doesn't say that those households had infants. Raise your hand if your household has an infant in it. Raise your hand real high. So if I said that we went to one of your households and everybody was baptized, for like 90% of you tonight, that would mean no infants were baptized. And so the Bible doesn't say that infants were baptized, but I think the Bible says enough other things about the requirement of baptism, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus, that he's forgiven your sin, that it's a conscious decision in following Jesus. I think the Bible says that enough that I think it's safe for us to say there were no infants in that household. And yet, I don't know. I can't tell you the Bible says that there were no infants there. The Bible doesn't say that. But I think when I consider the whole counsel of God, I think it's safe for me to say there were no infants in that household. And let me say this. Probably some of you come from a tradition where you were baptized as an infant. Let me tell you this. I am in no way tonight demeaning that experience. It was probably a very meaningful experience to your parents. It probably was not a meaningful experience to you. You probably don't even remember it except they've shown you a picture. Are you with me? So when we do baby dedications at Hillview, because we do that, we don't baptize the babies, but we do baby dedications, guess what? That's very meaningful to the parents. And that kid will never remember it. They'll see the picture, the Bible they chewed, and say, oh, that's cool. But we do that, listen, we do that for parents. That's why we do that. It's for parents. In one of my favorite passages, and we're going to close. In one of my favorite passages, it says, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Baptism is important to us here because we have seen in 99% of the cases that when people are obedient in baptism, other things begin to line up in their lives. Now listen, not because they got baptized, but because they demonstrated a willingness to be obedient to Jesus. And guess what? That made it a little easier to be obedient in this area. And that made it easier to be obedient in this area. So I don't believe the baptism is magical, but I believe it's more than symbolic. Because if you're willing to be baptized, biblical baptism, and the word that's used there, what happened to Jesus is baptizo. That's the Greek word that was used. You know what it means? To dip, to put under. That's what that word means. That's why we do baptism by immersion in all cases where it's physically possible. That's what we do. Because you know what? That's how Jesus was baptized. Baptizo. So if you're here tonight, my challenge to you tonight would be this. When were you saved? There you go. That's awesome. 11-11-07. And then I would ask you, and I hope all of you can know, if you don't know the exact day, maybe you know the exact time, you know, kind of around this time's when I was saved. Then I'd ask you this question. When were you baptized? And if tonight you would say it was over here, then I would say you've never been baptized. Because biblical baptism happens after your conversion. After your sin is forgiven, that's when baptism happened. How many times in the New Testament did it say that folks believed and then they were baptized? Because baptism is after your conversion. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, I would encourage you to come to the altar. And this isn't going to be a long altar tonight. We've already went over. But some of you already know I need to do that. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to pray, we're going to have an altar call, and I'm just going to ask you to come and say, you know I need to be baptized. Some of you here thought that was a pretty weak message on baptism. I still have questions. Well, I'm going to tell you, nothing would thrill me more in my days in the week than to talk to you about baptism. And I'd love for you to call or you to come by the office and we can talk more about it. And I just ask you to come up here. And because if you wait till after the service, you might be waiting a while. Just come up to your altar and say, I've got more questions. I'd love to talk to you. And some of you just know, hey, I know I'm a believer, but my baptism was back then. And so basically, I after tonight, I feel like I know that I've never been baptized and I need to do that. Let me encourage you tonight. It's not about all the people watching. It's not about that you've been baptized at Hillview. It's not about becoming a part of our church, because at Hillview, when you get baptized, that doesn't make you a member of our church. If you want to be a member, that's a whole different animal. Baptism is about you being obedient to your Savior. That's what baptism is about. Baptism is about you and Jesus. Baptism, I believe, is our first opportunity to say, hey, Lord, when I said I would follow you, Jesus, I meant it. And baptism may possibly be one of the more humiliating things that we do, getting in the water, getting wet, being in front of everybody, having that robe on. It's just saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. So I want us to stand, and I'm going to pray, and this altar will be open. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and I thank you, Lord, that you just continue to help us. You continue to show us. One of the questions tonight was, I feel like since I've been saved and baptized, I've backslid. So if I've backslid since I've been saved and baptized, do I have to get baptized again? And Lord, we know the answer to that is no. Because they were already obedient in that. Now it's just about coming clean. Now it's just about confessing our sin to you and receiving the forgiveness that you offer us again and again and again. So thank you, Lord. I thank you that when I was 7 and got baptized, you never stopped showing me that I needed to be saved. You were faithful. And you saved me. So Lord, we love you tonight. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The altar is open. You come.